it's being done to totally get rid of religion and totally join everyone up in a common fight against a new enemy. You know, not Al-Qaeda, but aliens. And that would join the world together in a new world order. And it,
you know what? Yeah, what gets me always is, I mean, people who say, oh, you got to say no to religion. And then they sell you the Venus Project. And I mean, why do you want to call it Venus, you know? Venus is like the Greek goddess. It's like they replace one with another one.
Exactly. And kind of
and one thing, I mean, when you talk about Bluebeam, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of special other effects going on. And, you know, I mean, there's so many things that I can think of that they can possibly do to drive people crazy. I mean, you see these. What do you guys think of the Montauk or the experiment on animals? You guys believe they're really...
The Montauk monster?
Yeah.
Well, I think I think it's probably highly probable. I mean, have you seen it? Did you see it washed up on the beach?
Yeah, I mean, it's real. There's a few
and,
of them.
A year ago, I made a video about that.
Montauk from me.
And a year ago,
is
you know,
not
my
very
theory
far.
Was,
one
you know,
of them,
maybe
one
gonna,
of them launched
maybe they have tens of
about
thousands
three
and let them
pounds
run around.
Away from me.
Ah, okay.
Well, anyway, I was gonna say I don't know. I can't make those out to be anything. Anything as real animals that I've ever seen before. So to my, and also not far from here is Plum Island as well. So, you know, which is where Lyme disease came from originally, but they're moving Plum Island
to
the Midwest now. But
yeah, Montauk's right across the bay there.
Right. Well, I can get to, from a boat. I can get to Montauk in about a half hour. I can see, yep. I can see it from where I live. 'Cause I live right on Long Island Sound, in Connecticut. And it's right there. And you know what? As far as the Montauk Project goes, which was supposedly like the Philadelphia experiment where they made ships disappear and stuff like that, you know, I believe they have antimatter stuff that they're able to, to make stuff appear and disappear. And you know, the hard part, though, would be, I guess, with the making the human molecule.
What else about it? What else were we saying on it?
I mean, I'm just contemplating, you know, I mean, what they might be using to make it even more credible. And I mean, I'm just going to be an intergalactic 9/11, you know what I mean? It's going to be like a huge spectacle. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know everything that I see, you know, I'm not always sure. I mean, I read about the contrail that's all the way from Russia to, you know, to the United States. And that would be the perfect screen in the sky to make it idea, you know. I mean, I've examined a lot of these chemtrail videos and these UFO videos, and there's always like chemtrails around and stuff, you know what I mean? There's so many chemtrail UFO videos, and of course the explanation is always retarded, like, oh, a UFO is coming to save us from the chemtrails or some crap. But you know, when the chemtrails, I mean, when you hit the light on them, they seem to reflect really, really well, because there's aluminum and barium in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm thinking into myself, you know, is the real reason for chemtrails, I mean, give me a break. If they wanted them to be invisible, they would be invisible. It wouldn't take lots. You know, the technology is there. They want us to see them. Why? Maybe to get used to them, so when they spray them on a continuous basis before something happens, we see it as normal, you know, maybe something like that. But, I mean, these chemtrails,
You know what I think, Michael, is, and Justin, I heard you talking about this last night on your show. I kind of tuned in just as you were finishing it up. Mm-hmm. There's another agenda to chemtrails that a lot of people don't realize. And, you know, all you guys out there know about, you know, the worldwide agenda to push GMO food on everybody. And these chemtrails are ruining organic farms. And that's what they're doing. And they're spraying the farms that aren't going GMO. They're ruining all their crops. And then Monsanto will show up at their door a few months later and say, oh, well, we noticed you had a very low crop yield last year. We can offer you this aluminum-resistant soybean seed. And then what happens? The farmer almost has to deal with the devil. I know that's not maybe the main agenda or the only agenda. There's usually 5, 6, 7 agendas, but that's definitely one of them. Right. I don't think people talk about that one enough.
I mean, here in Hungary, they destroyed all the GMO fields, the farmers. They came together and they said, you know, we are going to destroy it, but Hungary is not important, of course, you know what I mean? So this country is already so controlled, it's not even monetarily, you know? The average wage is like 400 euros, like $500 a month. So the people here, you know, they are a little more awake than in America because they're not BSing them. because there's not so much propaganda here, but it's like we here, we in Hungary have like no power of influence. You know, America controls the world, or through America the world is being controlled, so to speak. You know, so yep. They're not really they don't even have chemtrails here because they figure, you know what, you guys are not even important enough to poison. You know,
that's the way. Justin, what do you think about that? About the farms and the chemtrails?
I definitely think there's a big tie to it, and whether or not it's that's the number one reason or not. No, it's definitely part of it. You know, and like I think Mike was getting at with chemtrails, the part that, you know, to make these holograms, you need strontium and barium and all these other things. So that's exactly what they are. You know, I think that's another thing, and I think also the fact that they are making people sick, you know, and you know, like you said, the aluminum seeds, it just shows, you know, you can't really grow. It's very hard to grow regular seeds nowadays because, you know, they're actually telling farmers out there that grow GMO to because the last couple of years their GMO haven't been strong enough. The animals are getting resistant to it. I mean, the insects are. So what they're doing is they're telling them, okay, grow in half an acre of regular, kind of as a bait, and then grow the rest GMO, and it's just you know, these things have so much stuff that it keeps getting added to them year after year.
They mutate
back
like
to chemtrails,
crazy.
Chemtrails, though, it's you know, I also think a huge thing has to do with Morgellons, and the fact that our bodies right now. I've talked to targeted individuals and stuff, and a guy who's actually working with them, and he says that none of us, because the nanoparticles in there and whatnot, smart dust, all this other stuff, we're inhaling that, and every time it rains, you know, it's getting into the groundwater, you know, this is going towards their transhumanist agenda. Eventually, we're not going to be 100% human like we were, you know, before all this started, you know. So I mean, I think that there's a lot of things that are involved with it.
Man,
and I think
that's scary.
Yeah, it's very scary. And you know, you look at something like Morgellons, you know, where you have these particles coming out of people's skin, you know, and popping out, and very painful, causing, you know, the skin to split. You see like what looks like a bunch of little octagons underneath their skin, then these black things start popping up through your skin, and you know, and it's really
Justin cut out again, guys. Is that smart dust that you're talking about? Is that what the octagons are?
What's that?
Is that smart dust that's coming through the guy's skin, or is that something else?
No, it's not exactly the same thing. That it's all nanotech. That's the thing. Smart dust is something that's nano as well. You know, it's I'm not saying that it's smart dust that's doing that, but what it is they're actually like nano bugs. They actually have their own. You know, they're so small that, and they actually have like a brain almost, like, you know, and they can develop into these. Black things, and then even they have insects and stuff that crawl out of them too. So I don't know if they're putting insect eggs in it or what, but very disgusting. If you look up Morgellons on YouTube and look at some of the stuff the victims are reporting and taking pictures of, you know, and none of the doctors will give them any answers. They're telling them, oh, you know, you got bugs or you got worms, you got this, and it's really one. You know, people are killing themselves because of it. And people's dogs are getting.
Like he was saying, if you guys don't know what smart dust is, smart dust is this like little nanotechnology that, you know, they just drop it everywhere, and it's capable of relaying all sorts of information back. And it's, you know, it's nanotechnology, so it's almost microscopic. You can't see it. You know what I mean? You can't see it.
Yeah, exactly. No, and these black fibers. What's amazing out of one of them. One guy took one out of his arm and burned it off, and you can see underneath it after he burned it with intense, like with a torch, because, you know, a regular, you know, it's very hard to burn through. it actually said NASA on one of these things in plain English, NASA, on one of these little threads. You could see it under a microscope. That video is on YouTube as well. You know, it's very sick. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that whole transhumanism thing is scary, man. I don't want to be part android or part, you know, whatever the hell they want me to be.
And a big thing too is they want to get rid of, you know, it's kind of like a war against the sexes. You know, you have you notice now there's more females being born than any at any time ever. And what the cause of this is because the bisphenol A, all these other,
feminizing everybody.
Yes, yep, and gender bending chemicals. And these people are getting actual, you know, men are getting breast, not just fat guys, you know, but men are getting breasts. Girls are going through puberty at 9 or 10 years old, getting their period. More women are getting ovarian and breast cancer, of course, because of this, you know, and men are having lower sperm counts. And this is all about, for one, population control, and for two, you know, they almost want to make a race of, like, of people that...
Wussies. They want you to be a wussy so you don't fight back.
Totally. And here's another thing. It's almost like eunuchs, which, for those of you that don't know, it's like in Italy they used to have these people called castrati, which were, you know, castrati, obviously, you can translate to castrate in English, and that's what it was, is that they would take these little boys and castrate them, and now this will be pretty much what we'll do to people without actually having to castrate people. You know, they'll just think it's normal that all these people are going around as, you know, almost like hermaphrodite types. And I don't know, it's very weird, but, you know, transhumanism already right now, you know, people like Dick Cheney are already, you know, reaping the benefits of it, you know, with that heart. He's technically not alive. He does not have a heartbeat, you know, and it's just going to get worse and worse as far as, you know, and some of these medical things would be great if they were used for good. But they're not going to be used for good. They're going to be used to further these people's lives, and besides that, you know, just to be used for you know, whatever evil they want.
They're not
going to
share it with us.
No.
No way. No way. And like what you're saying is so true. Everybody listening out there, they do want to feminize everybody. They don't want men to be fighting back in a sort of a revolution, just like they want everybody to be docile with the fluoride, right, and soon to be lithium.
Right.
They want all the men feminized because it makes them less of a threat when they fight back. And I think that's pretty...
totally.
It's going way too far. Guys, we're going to come right back after a short break. Stick with us. You're listening to The Brian Stavely Show on the Last American Radio Broadcast. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the Brian Stavely Show. You're listening to us on the Last American Radio Broadcast. I want to thank, you know, I want to thank Justin and Michael for both, you know, jumping in on the show today. Justin, you're here, right?
Yeah, I'm here. I just had to unmute. Thanks for having me on. It's definitely great talking with you and Mike. It's you know, get a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah, I like how we just go through, you know, just a ton of issues, and so much of what we talk about relates to each other. Like, you know, when all these issues are kind of all intertwined, because one agenda kind of furthers another, and they're all related. Not to go too far off topic, I did have one other story I wanted to mention real quick. There's a town in Maine, and as you know, Justin, and everybody out there listening knows, there's an all-out assault on for your food freedom. You're not allowed to eat what you want. You're not allowed to grow what you want. You're not allowed to sell what food you want. There's a town in Maine called Blue Hill, and they passed an ordinance to sell, grow, consume any food they want. But now the state officials are actually suing a resident of the town for what? For selling food and raw milk without official state license. And this town already made it a law that these people could do this. And the state's just overstepping their boundaries and coming in there, and they're suing this guy for selling raw milk. Again.
Wow.
Once again, not allowed to sell healthy milk. Guys, when they, you know, pasteurize and homogenize your milk, they ruin it. They ruin all the nutrients in it. Why can't you have healthy milk? Ask yourself that. Is it a free country when you're not allowed to buy healthy milk? I mean, it sounds so trivial and small, but it's really, it goes to show you how unfree we really are, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, and the whole fact about you know, part of Codex really, and you know, and the fact that we're not going to be able to choose in the future whether we want to have you know, if we want to take supplements or if we want to take vitamins or, you know, raw milk, you know, anything, you know, which is filled with great, you know, nutrients, probiotics. People out there that don't know, when they take milk that we buy in the store, it's homogenized, pasteurized, and it takes all of the most of the healthy stuff out. You know, it really does. It's boiled at such a high temperature, and it takes all this stuff out that really would be beneficial to all of us. And, you know, that's one of the main things here is they don't want you to be able to, you know, to cure yourself. You know, they don't want you to be able to, you know, to have any control over your own health. It's only got to be, you know, what you're going to have to. And that's what Obamacare is about, because, you know, your insurance company is going to tell you, hey, you have to get this treatment. You know, or that treatment or whatever, and you're not going to be able to get a second opinion. You're not going to, you know, it's just, it's total tyranny when they can tell you what you can and can't put in your own body. And, you know, whether it's good or bad, or, you know, we should have that choice. And, you know, and here, I don't mean to, you know, to get on the thing about marijuana, but look at all the uses of it. And I'm not just talking about medical marijuana. I'm talking about hemp and everything else that, if they ever, you know, for the economy, you know, it's just outrageous that you know, it's obviously a setup that these things are illegal, while things like alcohol are legal, you know, and tobacco, you know, it's just amazing. But yeah, it's all about population control, and it's all about you know, controlling us, you know, and saying you can do this, you can do that, and people are accepting it, and that's the sad part about it. People believe the propaganda that they put out about raw milk or about, you know, any, you know, GMOs, that they're safe, even though they've never been adequately tested.
Well, they do it under the guise of, like, food safety, as you know, the Food Safety Act. And the fact is, guys, these people aren't even getting sick off this stuff. They're shutting down people for selling raw milk, but the raw milk's not making anybody sick, never mind dying.
Yeah.
It's disturbing. The thing is that most people don't realize it, so that's why they're not pissed off. They have no idea what goes in their food. I mean, they don't. I had no idea for a long time. You know, guys, there's like bacteria in milk that's actually good for you. And what you do when you boil it, like Justin said, think of, you know what boiling does? It sterilizes. So what do you think that does to all the good bacteria? It kills it. It's done. You should be able to buy your milk, you know, right out the cow's nipple if you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. No, and here's the thing is they've even said that if you own a cow, that you're not even supposed to get it out of your own cow, and you're not supposed to be able to feed it to your neighbors. It's just ridiculous. You know, and there's never been a death as far as the last 11 years. They've lied about the two that they said. And those had something to do with products that were from raw milk, you know. And regardless, if somebody wants to choose to consume something, and it kills them, who are you to say that I can or can't do it? You know, and that's the problem. You know, this is supposed to be, you know, the home of the free. It's supposed to be, you know, we're supposed to be able to make our own choices, you know, like it or not, and that's not the case.
Well, if they knew they were going to profit greatly off of the raw milk, then maybe they would let you get it. You know what I mean? But they don't want anything going on like that. With A, people are getting healthy, which they don't want, and B, you know, they're not in on it.
Yeah. No. Well, you know, the whole thing goes down to, and people wonder, well, you know, the FDA, you know, why would they do this? Or, you know, aren't they supposed to protect us? Well, the whole thing about it is the fact that, you know, the FDA is made up of all people that are from Monsanto, from Big Pharma. You know, are we back on? Okay, yeah. From Monsanto, from Big Pharma, and they are, you know, that's what the FDA is made up of, and these people have already obviously been, you know, told, okay, you know, we have an easy job for you. You're going to get a big raise. You're going to go work for the FDA, and you're going to watch our back. And that's what they do. And it's all part of the agenda, because that's what it is. It's one big agenda. And everything, that they do is another piece of that puzzle to make you more unhealthy, to make you more docile, to make, have less control of your life.
And people don't seem to realize, that, for you to be able to get a job of importance, I have a friend whose dad, is in aeronautics, he's building airplanes. And he said to me, unless you are Freemason, you cannot even move up in the ranks. Now, the thing with the Freemason thing, for example, they're low budget. They're nothing, really. They're just little tools. But they have proven one thing. They have proven their ability to keep their mouth shut. So, when you look at people at NASA, for example, I call it the National Academy of Space Actors. The astronauts or no astronauts should apply. No, I say about NASA, for example, I don't know how much you guys understood before I cut out, but, I call it the National Academy of Space Actors, or, NASA can also stand for no astronauts should apply. People that we consider scientists, they're pre-selected based on their loyalty to, an order or something that controls what they can and what they can't say. And they, of course, they all feel very, very safe because they feel they have unlimited backup. No matter how much they lie, they feel like the lie I can get along with, I can go along with it, because everybody backs up the same lie. And I'm with the more powerful people, and nothing's gonna ever happen to me. And that's when I watched this movie, Astronauts Gone Wild. One of them even ran from the interviewer, like a little city, he just ran away. And, the people who are, we call them the scientists and the most respected, they're all pre-selected. They're not pre-selected based on their skills or based on their integrity. They're selected because they know how to keep their mouth shut, and because they all prove them at one point that they will go along. And that's what we're really looking at here. So all these people that we respect hold dear, they are allowed to be our heroes. They're allowed to be out there because they have done, they have proven at one point. They have proven that they can keep the mouth shut and go along with the agenda or whatever it is. They're told. And becoming a Freemason is they're pre-selecting people. They have proven that they're going to be secretive. They're not going to do anything crazy. They're just going to be little sheep. And what they believe is a part of the elite would never be. But, the people that are up there that we listen to, they're nothing. They're nobodies. They're not the main scientists in the world. They're the ones who maybe, they attend a good school. They're not the best students, but they've proven to, want more out of life, so to speak. Or they've proven that they are going to do anything to become famous or become, they go for the powers. And so as tools of them, even though the world respects them and looks after them, they're not worth respecting, and they're not worth listening to either, because everything that they say is scripted.
Yep. It's a very good point, man. Very good point. All right, guys, we're gonna take a 2-minute break, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Last American Radio Broadcast. Okay, everybody. Thank you for staying with us. Welcome back to the Brian Stavely Show. Another topic I really wanted to touch on today before, I don't know how much longer I have you guys for. I have plenty of time. It's up to you guys. The other thing I want to talk about today when we're talking about conditioning is the pedophilia. And I really want to talk about how we're being conditioned to accept this, how we've been conditioned to accept this for a while now, how screwed up it is that the way the legal system is set up, and you can rape a kid and get out in like 2 years. You could rape kid after kid and keep going in and out of there and be out quicker than some people that are doing one drug sentence. Yeah. Now, how ass backwards is that? And what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I I mean, the thing is, you know, I first of all, I grew up in Germany, and I came to California when I was 17, and I swear by God, there are some cities like Bakersfield, California, where half of the people have been molested as children, you know, from at least when you ask people, when you talk to them, and they had the Lords of Bakersfield. It was like a secret club where all the politicians and the top bankers had, you know, a club where they invited the, like, young boys. And it's been an underground thing. This is something that seems to have been in existence for so long. And, you know, obviously, you know, it's a part, it's a way of damaging a person's life because before the person can even become an adult, you know, it's a control issue, so to speak. That's the way I look at it, you know, to keep somebody, you know, mentally damaged, to damage the child mentally and have a society just of damaged people. I mean, it's a part of that. That's my personal take on it.
Right. Well, I agree, and that's a part of the thing, and that's why a lot of these occult groups do it, because what they're doing is they're actually, you know, it's just like mind control. You know, is a part where they're actually splitting off the person and giving them an alter, you know, an alter personality, and that's what they do to these people, and I think that, you know, if you look back at all these groups, is, you know, it's written in the Babylonian Talmud, you know, it's written in, you know, obviously we've seen the Catholic Church, what they're doing, you know, all these groups that are, you know, in charge of leading the world. You know, the New World Order, or whatever you want to call it, the you know, global government.
Yeah.
You know, all these different groups, they all are involved in it one way or another. You know, and,
right.
And you look back at, you know, in the U.S., you know, so many examples of it, and also too, like Mike said, it creates a broken society, and they're going to most likely reoffend, and then it's just going to mess somebody else up and keep it going.
Exactly. And you know what? I mean, the thing is, you know, if, for example, if you go to prison and you're a child molester, you probably get hurt hard because, you know what? An unusual amount of prison inmates has been molested as children. So that's got to tell you that causes damage. It causes, you know, it's an action that causes many, many reactions. So that's not a surprise to me to hear that like 80% of prison inmates have been molested as children. Or something like that. This is just one article I read, but it sounds pretty credible to me because these people are damaged for life. And, you know, they become exactly what, you know, the people in power want them to be, meaning, you know, confused and you know, that's such a, man, it's such a, you know, big, you know, and like Brian said, you know, they get away with it easily. Because it's as if somebody up there wants it to keep on happening, you know, wants to keep it happening. And, you know, it's not just a new word. Or, I mean, it's been around forever, really. I mean, I heard that Leonardo da Vinci had a 10-year-old boy live with him who was his lover. You know what I mean? These kind of things I've been reading a lot on these issues and anything Vatican related, really. I mean, it was promoted there in one way or the other. You know, these people have been doing this for centuries, and it has an impact. It has a huge impact on society. And another thing that I read about the other day was like schizophrenia. You know, people who it happens to, they have a huge chance of developing schizophrenia because a part of their mind is taking over the life that they have become conditioned to because of the abuse, and the other part is trying to live the life they would have lived had it never happened, and they cannot accept what happened to them. You know, there is so many talks about medical or the gene. No. I don't believe in that. I also don't believe that medication should be given for it unless you really are about to completely lose it and it cannot even function. But the medications they give you is really to cover up the pain. And, you know, and so the inside, you know, there's never any really healing about it. So it's a huge problem, guys. I mean, I read about it a lot of times because, you know, I had a girlfriend, my ex-girlfriend, who was, like, abused again and again as a child. And so I kind of, like, you know, and she had her crazy moments, like you would call it. But, I understand that, you know, people who it happened to, you know, they are seriously damaged. And through that, you know, and I can also tell you, you know, that I know from children who I grew up with, you know, the ones who it happens to, they want to reenact it. So it's like a wildfire thing. They, you know, they right. reenact it with other children. And it happened to me with two girls I grew up with. Who, now I understand the stories that they tried to tell me back then. I didn't believe it. But yeah, I mean, it had an effect on me indirectly. I never blessed it, but it had still an effect on me what happened to the girls in my neighborhood. Because, you know, they want to reenact it. They have this need, and it's a natural thing. And it's a natural reaction to an unnatural thing that happened to them.
Right. Yeah, no, the
such a
go ahead, Brian.
Go ahead. I was just gonna say it's such a mind-blown problem that we even have to deal with this. Like, how did it ever get to this point where it's, you know, that people want to do that? How do you get that in your head where you want to do that to a kid? How do people look the other way? Like this whole Penn State thing, you know. And I knew we were gonna obviously go down this road too. How do these people, like that guy McQuarrie? How does he not do something? How does he not grab that guy off that kid, hit him over the head with something? You're a football coach. You're probably not a wuss. You're probably some sort of man, aren't you? Do something. Be a man.
Yeah.
You're going to leave that kid there to get raped?
Well,
you know what he did.
You know what's insane, too, is getting back at exactly what Brian is talking about. Even Joe Paterno, who and me and Brian talked about this last night, you know, this guy owned Penn State University pretty much. You know, we now know that he had obviously, you know, we could figure this before, but now we have proof that he had prior knowledge to at least July. But because he got his house out of his name, put it in his wife's name, and this would not benefit them all at all tax wise or anything like that. He knew something was coming down on him. And, you know, when I was looking it up, I said, you know what? I'll guarantee that Joe Paterno was in some way involved with one of these, you know, Catholic fraternal organizations. So I Googled, you know, Joe Paterno, Knights of Columbus. Sure enough, it comes up. Third or fourth level, which is pretty high. And, you know, they only have a few levels. And he's been speaking in front of you know, in front of the Knights of Columbus groups many times, you know. So here's a guy that possibly, you know, Knights of Columbus are not totally, you know, it's kind of like Freemasons, where some of them may be, you know, in on it, and some of them may not be, you know, just depends. But it's you know, it's the culture of it, and if it's okay for the Pope to do it, if it's okay for you know, this one to do it, he may not have done it himself. But, you know, he let it go on. And we had a whole university of people that obviously were more worried about their jobs and their own lives or whatever. Then, you know, if this was in the 50s, they, you know, any real man would have went and grabbed that guy and ripped his nuts off. You know, and it's sick.
It seems to me that a lot of the most powerful people in the world or most powerful people in the public eye are into this stuff, okay? We are reading about the Franklin scandal with George Bush Sr. We are also, I mean, look at Corey Haim, for example, okay? Why did he go down? And even Corey and Haim and Corey Feldman talked about, they supposedly both got raped by the same producer. Now, the producer was never named. I suspect it may be Joel Schumacher, because I looked at the timelines when the interviews were given, who they worked with, and that is the only name, and he's a big name in movies. You know, he done the Batman. I mean, Joel Schumacher done so many different things. And it seems that they reward these perverts, you know, to move up there. You know, it seems to be a subculture in our society that those pedos, you know, they help each other, or they help each other to power or whatever or what have you. And, you know, it's always been like that. I mean, it's been like that with the Vatican and the Jesuits. That's what they're into. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
If you are a man and you don't have a good, you know, it's fine if you're gay. I don't judge you, whatever, man. But these guys, it's more than that. You know what I mean? They have the choir boys and they I mean, put the let me make a
let me make a quick point, and you can get right back to what you're saying. Just for people that don't know, and I know you guys know, about a week ago, after this Penn State thing broke, you know, conveniently a few days later, the Pope has come out now and spoke that pedophilia is not that evil, and, you know, it was more accepted before, and this, that, and the other thing. And these universities have strong ties to the Vatican. They do. There's a lot of influence there, and I think this thing is so much bigger than just Penn State. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry about that.
Absolutely, man. It hasn't been more accepted. It just has been less known. People back then were ignorant to it. And now, of course, you know, the internet and more media coverage, you know, eventually all this stuff had to come out. You know, I remember in the 90s, you know, there was this class action suit, you know, I forgot if it was Boston or where it was, but I mean, they all came together. They found each other, the victims of the same cardinal, you know, and they sued them together, because eventually now, you know, it has to come out eventually, but they still manage to be in power. They still manage to whitewash it away. And why people are following and supporting that, you know, and even the Bible, it says, you know, don't call nobody Holy Father, call nobody teacher. So all these titles like rabbi and this and that, you know, if you believe Jesus existed and was who he said he was, then, you know, why that need to follow somebody who is not even in alignment with what they pretend to preach? I mean, it's just, you know, that need for people. I mean, it's the way that society is divided, and then giving people, you know, we all have that need to connect with each other. So basically what's happening is you're being divided. People get lonely. They get scared. But then you build up these organizations. Oh, meet people here. Go to this church, blah, 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 blah. And people don't want to lose it. So they start accepting the unacceptable. And it's no longer even about what the Bible is about. So, you know, once you get society so segregated that they cannot come together on their own, that's when you have a lot of control, because then you start an organization, give people what they need, what they would find a way to get to if it wasn't for all this infiltration and deception anyways. And then you're the middleman, and you got it, you know. And that's what the Catholic Church has been doing for 2,000 years.
That's why they throw you in a group and throw labels on you to keep you divided, so they can knock you down one at a time.
Exactly, you know.
And everybody gets all into that. People buy into these different I don't know how to say it, not stereotypes, but they buy into these different groups that they're told that they're in. You know what I mean? Don't ever do that. I mean, I know you've talked about this at great length on some of the first shows we did.
And
that's their strategy, you know? That's their strategy, because if we're all united, they can't beat us, because there's so many of us. But we're so divided over such trivial things most of the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? There's different division in different countries. There's different ways of dividing people. And me, I have lived in like 5 countries. I've been to like maybe 26. You know, I see the difference. Like every time I come back to the United States, I realize, wow, you know, there's something. But I also realize there's different forms of control and division in different countries. And, you know,
some of the strategies they use.
Exactly. Because, you know, for me, it's something that's so obvious. But then when I'm in America for 2-3 years at a time, then I forget about it. I don't even realize it anymore, you know. And now, of course, I don't even know if I want to go back, because I'd be like, man, I'm used to speaking my mind now, you know what I mean? And I don't know how I would handle some of even my old friends who, you know, tell me, look, man, why are you talking this truth or crap again, you know? And I'd be like, look, I speak my mind, you know. I don't know. It's just there's a lot of effort, emphasis on the United States, you know, to keep the people divided and totally asleep. And the same is happening in the UK. The UK is like one of the only countries in the world that has fluoride in the water. You know, they need to keep the people in the UK. They need to go against, you know, they cannot have them wake up, so to speak, because the UK is very, very important. So is America. You know, they don't need it here in Hungary, because nobody is, you know, going to do anything. They're not worried about Hungary. But it's pretty amazing that, you know, Holland and the UK seem to be the only two countries in Europe where fluoride is in the water, you know. And they have it in Australia, of course, because Australia is, you know, British Commonwealth. Every British Commonwealth country seems to have it. You know, even though in Canada, a few of the cities have voted it out of the water, which is really, really good. But, you know, there is a very, very, very strong effort to keep the people in certain countries completely asleep. And, you know, if they cannot afford people to wake up there, they cannot afford the British people to wake up before the next Olympic game or whatever they're going to have planned for that, you know. So, you know, for me, it's always been very, very easy to see the difference because I moved around so much in my life. But, you know, the question is, of course, how do you reach people? I mean, people who come to Europe from America or people who travel, they seem to have more of an open mind to begin with. And they seem to also, you know, look at things completely different after 2 weeks here, because when they first come here, they're kind of scared, like, oh my God, I saw on the news this and that. And, you know, and then they realize, wow, man, somebody's been lying to me. But, you know,
Yeah, exactly.
And most people in the United States don't have a passport, so it's really hard to, you know, escape the whole matrix, if you want to call it that. I don't even want to call it that because it's like a, you know, it triggers people to think, oh, these guys are conspiracy, blah, 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 blah. But I mean, whatever you want to call it, the network. Phil calls it a network. I think it's a good way to put it. It's a network. Whoever's behind it doesn't really matter because there's a lot of people behind it.
Yeah.
But go ahead, guys. I forgot what the original question was, actually.
I think we were talking about pedophilia and
that's wherever.
Right,
you know, and there's a lot of, I mean, pedophilia here is a sick thing, you know. A lot of Europeans and Americans, they travel. I used to live in Bali, in Indonesia, and there's huge sex tourism. And people are selling their children to these sick individuals. You know what I mean? And, you know, I lived in Indonesia for a year. And that's when I started researching, because I could live like a king for $500 a month. And I had all the time in the world, no financial pressure for the first time in my life. And, but you see, and he, I mean, Bali, just Google Bali pedophilia, you know, I mean, it's huge, man. And these people, they make an average of like maybe $80 a month. And these guys come from the Western world and offer them $200 here for your child. And people rent their children to these people, man. You know, and that's when I also realized just how huge of a demand is for that stuff. And, you know, you look at the world in it from a different way, man. You look at a different angle. There's no justice in the world. There is no, you know, but the way I look at this, man, all the laws and all the society, all the, everything we have needs to be redone, because everything is, there is nothing, you know, to protect children. Children are not being protected. And if you can't protect your own children, then.
No, they're being targeted. Never mind protected.
Exactly.
And targeted with the vaccines, too. I mean, they're trying to murder our children and disable them.
Disable, exactly. I mean, if you're healthy, you're not worth anything to the pharmaceutical industry. You know, if you're dead, you're not. If you're somewhere in the middle between dead and healthy, that's when you're bank. You know, you always depend on, you know.
That's what people don't understand about the FDA. They're not there to approve and disapprove things that are healthy for you and your interest. They're there to make sure you don't find out about the real healthy stuff. You get the stuff that makes you sick, because they're in on it with Big Pharma and with all the cancer treatment centers, and they want, you know, a revolving door, and they want to write you prescriptions, and they want to have side effects, and they want to keep you going to the doctors, and they want to do this to you, and they want to do that. They don't want you to be healthy. That's the last thing they want. I can't believe it took me 33 years to realize it, but they do not want you healthy. The FDA, the USDA, the CDC, all these alphabet agencies got to go. I mean, this, you could go right down the list. The TSA, the EPA. I mean, think about it. They're all crooked.
NSA, DHS, FBI, yes.
They're all ass backwards of what they're supposed to do. Yep. ATF.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, but I think society, we got to prove ourselves that we can handle ourselves. I think the moment people start uniting, and that's another thing I have the problem with when it comes to Occupy, you know what I mean? Because, you know, people say, yes, get violent now, let's then, you know, it's not going to work. First, you need to educate people. You need to educate, and you will not even have to have a plan to take over anything, because the moment people are awake and understand what's going on, they will know where to direct their anger. All they're doing is misdirecting, redirecting your anger to the wrong places against each other, this and that. You need to really, you know, if there was transparency, we wouldn't have this problem. People would say, look, we're going to rebuild our own society and we're going to find some solutions together. I don't know if it's possible because I know human nature can be pretty scary, but at least people would try and not run like little sheep behind some, you know, well-spoken presidential candidate, you know, like it's going right now. I mean, people would at least start talking to each other, say, how can you work this out? Because you know what? There's some countries I've been, man. I lived in Costa Rica for 3 years. People there, when they have a problem, they don't call police. They work out with each other. Trust me, it works out really, really, really well. Okay, if a guy was to molest a child, trust me, they would find something that's going to be very, very harsh. But you know what? I mean, people there know, you know, and they don't trust their own police. You know, they don't trust the police for nothing, which they have reason not to. But, you know, they are not unlike us in the Western world. They are not in this under this illusion that, well, God bless our police officers because they're all right. You know, they are more realistic. And some American friends of mine tried to tell my Costa Rican friends, oh, you should be patriotic and support your police. And they were like, shut the heck up. We don't want to hear that stupid stuff because, you know what? They're looking at it the way it is. The police, they're as corrupt as can be, and people work it out together, and they live happy in their communities. And by the way, Costa Rica has the second highest life expectancy, and their medical industry is prehistoric compared to the United States. So what does that tell you?
Oh, dude, our medical system is all quackery. And, you know, when you're talking about the vaccines, right, for instance, yeah. If we give the most vaccines out of any nation, we give like 42 of them. And, you know, but we have, like, the highest infant mortality rate. More babies die here than almost anywhere.
By what age is that 42 vaccines? By that, that's insane.
I'm not sure. I'll have to look it up. I want to say it's by, like, 14 or something.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. You know, I heard 13. It's like every 6 months you get, or 2 months you get something, you know. Just another excuse to put something, some poison in you. You know, it's always, I remember... You know, my daughter's American. She lives in the United States, and I grew up, like I say, in Europe. But you know, it's always like, you know, and when I was six, when I was eight, my 16-year-old cousin became pregnant by an American GI, and she had like four kids within the 5 years. And I started learning that things are quite different in the United States. You know, a little bit when it comes to the medical.
It used to not be like that, though.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
With the vaccines. Like Justin was talking about it yesterday or the day before on his show. You know, how many vaccines did you say you had, Justin? Just a couple. And me too. Yeah. Just a couple.
Yeah. When I was a kid, now I'm 30 years old, mind you. When I was a kid growing up, I had the MMR when I was a kid, you know, when I was probably, you know, a baby or whatever. And I think my mother said one other one. And besides that, I had hepatitis when I went into high school. That was it. That's all the vaccines I've ever had. Now these kids are getting chicken pox, they're getting HPV, they're getting so many things that they don't need. We have an immune system for a reason. You know, chicken pox was not the end of the world. You know, flu shot for kids. Are you kidding me? They're kids. You know, when we were kids, we used to eat dirt and stuff. And you know what? We probably had a better immune system. I mean, you know, didn't really eat dirt, but, you know, we were outside playing with it, got in your hands. You know, we didn't carry around things of Purell, you know, and that's another thing, too. Purell is something else that hurts your immune system. Parents need to know that, you know, because all too sanitary. You need some germs. Some germs, just like probiotics, you know, it's a thing. It's all a balance. And that's why, you know, this new generation where they have everybody, you know, play dates, and it's just ridiculous. And everything is geared at community. I call it, you know, it's kind of like communism, but it's more communitarianism, where they're, you know, just taught to you know, they're not individuals anymore. They think they are. Everyone thinks they're an individual, but it comes down to, you know, the they're all sheep and they don't even realize it, you know. But it's just insane, though, the amount of vaccines they get. And, you know, Brian, I remember the other night on your show, you brought up a great point of how much money the big pharma lost on Vioxx, so that they were going to make that up with was it this year's flu vaccine, or was it the HPV?
It was the STD thing.
Yeah, HPV, right? Okay. Yep. Now, mind you, guys don't have a cervix. We cannot get cervix. We cannot get cancer there. You know, so it just makes no sense to have men vaccinate, you know, or kids, especially 10-year-old kids, get an HPV vaccine, especially guys. Girls, I find even less, you know, they shouldn't get it either. But really, if you're a parent out there that's getting that for your boy, for your son, you really need to get your head checked, because you're not even looking into anything. You're just doing what you're told. And it's sick.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sad. It really is. And, you know, for those of you that don't know, in California, they did just pass a bill. I think I talked about it on the station, that they passed a bill, AB 499, where kids can now get these vaccines for STDs as long as they're 12 years old or older without their parents' consent. So they can come home with all these types of, you know, reactions and side effects, and they'll never even know how they got it. And parents could, you know, you might think your kid got raped. I mean, you're not even going to know what's going on.
Yeah, and they give them free iPods and free this, free that.
They have contests. Sign up the most kids, you get a free iPod. They do this at schools. Literally, guys. They have contests for kids to sign up other kids. You talk the most kids into it, and you're going to get a free iPod. That's just sick. And the kids don't know, because what do they know? They know exactly what they learn in health class, which obviously is going to be that vaccines are so necessary and they're the greatest thing in the world.
Exactly. You know,
minds are so impressionable.
I think a lot of people don't realize, too, that a lot of times when you get these vaccines, how many people I know that got sick after them, you know, because you're getting... you know, you're getting usually some have live strains, some have dead strains of the flu or whatever else, but and their point is, well, you get it less, you don't get it as bad, but you know, just leave that up to nature. You know, there's so many things like that. It's just, you know, and as far as I would recommend everyone to you know, you guys may feel different, but colloidal silver, I think, because that is something nowadays that you never hear the medical establishment talking about, yet it was used for hundreds of years, you know, to treat everything, and you know, eventually you're not going to be able to find the stuff to make that. I mean, you could do it with all you need is a little battery, you know. But you know, just getting back to the point though, we have to start looking the other way, because they're not looking for us. They're not being watchdogs. They're pushing stuff through on purpose that's hurting people. You know, and kids are most susceptible. You know, and that's another thing too. Another fact that people don't understand is these vaccines are like one size fits all. Yeah. So say you're a 300-pound guy, and next to a 8-pound baby, the 8-pound baby is going to get the same dose as this 250-pound guy. You know, or whatever.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, this is such a everything that's been done is going hand in hand. I mean, in the 60s, we had Gloria Steinem, you know, and she said herself she was CIA-sponsored. And then Aaron Russo in Freedom of the Fascists mentioned that the Rockefeller guy told him that we created it, feminism, or we hijacked feminism because we wanted to split up the families. So we have more, we implanted in the minds of these women that it's better for them to get the second job slaving, you know, and pay more taxes, and wind up with even less than they had before, and not have time to, you know, raise their kids together and give the kids to the school system. And so basically, it's lazy parenting. Now, check this. I mean, McDonald's put this cancer warning, you know, on their Happy Meals. Like, I got the link, Justin. And people say, oh, great, kudos to McDonald's. No, they're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart. They're doing it because they're getting sued. And now you cannot even sue them if their food makes you terminally ill. You can't even sue them anymore. So basically, parents still take their kids to McDonald's. They still do it because, you know why? They have a playground, they have the playland, and the kids love it, and so it gives them a little bit
and
of
it's
a
cheap.
Because it's exactly.
That's why it's cheap.
My daughter was 3. I took her there, man, and I have to admit that stuff because she ran around with the other kids and I could relax a little bit because I was working 60, 70 hours a week. I managed like a Quick Trip gas station or something like that. You know, I made okay money, but it was not even worth, you know, if, the peace of mind it took for me is like unbelievable. So, you know, I, you know, any break I could get, I would love it. You know, I would say, okay, cool, cool, cool. I can take her there. She was happy. I was happy. But of course, now I look at things differently. You know, it's just, they give you the chaos and then they bring you the solution. And the solution is always, you know, it's a gift horse. It's just like, don't look
problem, at reaction, solution. Mm-hmm. I know that's kind of cliche, but I mean, it's so true.
He gains dialect, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. You know, I
they
want
to be the saviors of a disaster that they caused.
Exactly.
So then they can do whatever they want after.
Exactly. It's all pre-planned, you know. We're going to cause you the problem. I mean, they say 9/11 was 30 years in the making. I believe it. They had everything orchestrated, man. Everything that we see right now, everything that we hear, opposition, or, you know, it's all pre-planned. All you know, they had 30 plus years to do it right. And they're doing it right. You know, there's probably a few glitches, a few people that didn't work out the way they planned to work out, you know, or have them work out with them. But, you know, they're maintaining, you know, they got rid of Bill Cooper. They brought in Alex Jones. It's always like and the problem is, like I say, the problem is that people fall for it, man. The problem is that people are so lazy and complacent that they, and also, I mean, in society, you know, we are taught to be passive. Oh, just demonstrate. You're going to show them what's up. BS, you know, people, our nature is to say, if there's a problem, deal with it, fix it, remove it. But we are taught to just wait for the court to decide something or this or that. It's all about delaying. It's all about making us accept the unacceptable. That's really how society has been set up over hundreds of years. No, because, I mean, from the 900s to the 1800s in Europe, it was all they called the Holy Roman Empire. It was the First Reich. You know, Hitler was the Third Reich, but the First Reich lasted almost 1,000 years, and the Vatican had total control. And the kings and the queens and everybody, you know, they had the power. And then in the 1800s, you know, people started to say enough is enough. And so they had the Congress of Vienna, which decided the birth of democracy. But of course, that's when the Rothschilds started taking over that movement. You know, they took over.
Slipped into the dark.
Yeah, the Vatican slipped away. The Rothschilds took over, so to speak. And they had the parliament. They brought the parliament. But all these people in the parliament in 1948, they were already pre-bought. They were pre-qualified, all of them. So basically, they started a movement, but all the people who started the movement, they were already controlled because it was already anticipated. They already knew it was going to happen. They knew it had to happen. And so they pretty much, you know, made sure that whatever happened was under their control. And this is where we are today, you know. And back then, of course, people, you know, people didn't have media. You know, people went to church on Sunday, and the preacher pretty much determined what news was going to be worth listening to, or the Catholic priest. And then the shift occurred. I mean, I do believe the Rothschild family is in charge, and I know you guys don't believe that, and maybe I'm wrong about it, but, you know, I see a huge shift, power shift, you know, because now we have the media, now we have, you know, I don't know. I mean, ever since the late 1800s, you know, when the British speak of the house, you know, go ahead.
I don't disagree with you. Hold on 1 second, light my cigarette. I don't disagree with you that the Rothschilds are totally in charge. I think it is somewhat of a 60-40 type deal. My opinion is that the Vatican is the 60 side and the Rothschilds are the, you know, the 40 side, but there's no way that they would have stuck along for, they're not idiots. They wouldn't have stuck along for that long being just the Vatican bankers and being just useful idiots. You know, that doesn't make sense. So obviously they have, you know, some type of share in it. The one reason that I think that the Vatican is behind everything, you know, and as far back to it, you know, it's hard to tell when, you know, when you actually have, you know, actual Jews mixing with the Vatican, because Ignatius Loyola was a Jew too. So I mean, it's you know, and when I say Jew, I don't, you know, I'm just saying that in the case of Loyola, because, you know, as we know, Zionist does not mean, you know, Jews. All Jews are not Zionists, and, you know, Christians can be Zion, you know, whatever. But to make a long story short, I don't know. It's tough to figure that out, you know, at the very top. And there's a good what do you call it, debate I saw, Michael Collins Piper versus Eric John Phelps, on that, and they both made some good points. Eustace Mullins has talked about it too. He said the Rothschilds took over the Vatican at during 1820 something, when they when Pope Pius took out a loan. I don't know. It's very hard to tell. However, you know, they're all one side anyway, and you know, we know our enemy at least. So
yeah, I've been wrong before, bro. I mean, I'm not here. The thing is that a lot of people I hear on these different, you know, networks arguing about this, and as you know, what I'm stating what I think. And you know, I mean, I'm looking at, for example, you know, Hitler never invaded Switzerland. Okay, Switzerland is like the campground for the money of the Rothschild family. And also, the Pope had the Swiss Guards. But are they the Swiss Guards, or are they there to make sure the Pope obeys the orders of the Rothschilds? I mean, that's kind of the thing that I'm thinking. And like I say, you know, I've been wrong before, but I have a hard time believing that the richest or the smart. I think the Rothschilds are so much more intelligent than the you know.
But the Vatican was so big, Michael. I'm not saying you're wrong either. I, my opinion, though, I would think that the Rothschilds would be more like, kind of like the face that they throw out there, while the Vatican hides behind the scenes.
Right. I think they.
I don't know. Don't you think it'd be kind of hard for the Rothschilds to just give the Vatican orders when the Vatican was so in control? Wouldn't it be easier the other way?
But the thing is that who controls the media? The Rothschilds. I believe they could destroy.
Well, they won't mention the Vatican. That's the thing. They'll mention the Rothschilds. Everybody talks about them. Nobody will mention the Vatican.
Right.
Except a couple of cases here and there. I mean, they mentioned them, but I think it's maybe more in a threatening way. Like, look, guys, we could destroy you if you wanted to. I mean, it's kind of like they don't. Maybe who knows? Maybe Catholics around the world are brainwashed enough to just, you know, put the Vatican first. I have no idea. I mean, I'm not a Catholic. I've never been.
See, here's the thing. Coming from me, I did grow up Catholic, and most Catholics have no idea what they're paying into, and that's part of the that's part of the thing as a Catholic, that they don't want you to know. It's kind of weird that, you know, although a lot of adults I do know are Knights of Columbus and whatnot, around here, and the head of the Knights of Columbus is in New Haven. You know, the worldwide head of the Knights of Columbus besides the Vatican is right here in New Haven. So I mean, it's definitely hard to discern. You know, but that is one of the things, is they've kept it so separate. And you know, you have the white nobility and the black nobility, which is the black nobility is the black Pope Adolfo Nicholas, and the Jesuits, the Knights of Malta, you know, and you have the other side of it, you know, which is the face of the Vatican. Like Brian said, though, you know, it's very weird how you never really hear anything, and you kind of have, like, you know, you'll hear stuff about the Pope, but you never hear anything about, you know, about the Jesuit generals. Only a couple researchers ever bring it up. And the fact that Jones hides it so much, and he's kind of like, wow, my Skype's going crazy. But my opinion is, what Jones hides, for the most part, is usually right on. You know, and he won't even let you mention Knights of Malta. He don't talk much about the Rothschilds either, but won't even mention that.
Well, they talk about the Rothschilds a lot. Rothschilds, Rockefeller, you hear it all the time. That's why I tend to think that they may be more like the face that they try and put on it. But, you know, who knows? Either way, we're in the same boat.
Yeah. No, I mean, I grew up, you know, I'm part Jewish, and I'm, you know, I mean, my theory is that everybody who's Jewish and has half of a brain somehow understands that it's the top of the ladder, and they somehow accept it, even if they don't like it. A lot of Jewish friends who are completely against it and don't know how to break away from it, because it's such a sick network that, you know, it's sort of like, you know, I don't know how to explain it. It's like an unwritten law. So it's kind of like, you know, these people in charge. The thing is, you know, me and my friend, you know who this, she's from the Bauers, from the Rothschild family. I mean, she's part of that. She doesn't believe they're even Jewish. The one part, the Bauer family, it's not even a Jewish name. You know, so that kind of like rose up there, pretending to be Jewish, because back then, under the Vatican law, you were not allowed to lend money unless you're Jewish. So there were some Germans who pretended to be Jewish in order for them to be able to do business. So there's a lot of things that I touched up on before, you know, the whole connection between the Jews, the Ashkenazi, and the Vatican. And I believe, I mean, there was, you know, back then, I mean, the Vatican was behind a lot of anti-Semitism, but what was the real reason behind it? Did they do business together, and then maybe Ashkenazis were becoming too big and they wanted to kick him out? I mean, there's always something going on behind the scenes that we're not aware of, you know? And that's kind of where I'm always going to touch up on, because there are a lot of things that I learned, you know, from that I've been told from my family, that it's, you know, it's matching the more time goes by. And I believe there's always a connection, ever since the Middle Ages. You know, the Catholic Church, they cannot lend money, but the Jews did lend the money. Okay, so they kind of talked to the Jews, but it was almost like negative advertising that turned into more business for the Jews. So then, you know, they confiscated the land of the people, couldn't pay back the loans, and the Vatican wound up owning some of it. And the Jews, you know, it's always been, I believe, when you look at the top, they've been working together for centuries, you know, millennia. Yeah. So that's just what I wanted to put out there.
All right. Well, you know what, guys? It's been 2.5 hours. It's been a great show. I want to thank you guys for coming on, but we're going to pretty much wrap it up. Any closing points you guys want to drop before we get off the air?
You know, just for the most part, just want to say thanks for having me on. And, you know, I think that a lot of this stuff needs to be talked about, because people do need to know their enemy. And we don't all have to agree on the same things, but we have to agree on what the agendas are. And I think that's one thing that we all are in agreement with. So, I mean, you know, the petty stuff of who actually is in charge, you know, we'll get to that once we, you know, start just dissecting their web. But, you know, once we actually make some progress. But for now, I think that we're far ahead of the rest of the pack, you know, even talking with the rest of the stuff. They're still worried about Ron Paul and Herman Cain and Obama. So, I mean, you know, that's, you know, I think that really here, you know, it's just about, you know, discernment and realizing that everything they push is fake, and just really trying to be your own, you know, everyone's got to have their own, you know, sniff test or whatever, you know, and some people don't have it. So, you know, that's pretty much all I got to say, but thanks for having me on. I just want to have everyone keep researching and don't settle for what you hear. You know, keep looking into it, because, you know, there's a lot of info out there.
Yep, that's a great point. All right, guys, thank you. Thanks again for coming on. Today's Friday, so I won't be back till Monday. I'll be back on Monday for another episode of the Brian Staveley Show. Be on at noontime. You know, and we'll try and do this maybe a little more often. Thanks everybody for listening. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Justin. And we're out of here.